the Chinese artist who had dinner at Pendle Hill on Sunday was, or I don't know what to say, he gave a demonstration at the Art Center over here that afternoon. And his pictures are on exhibition, I think, till the end of March. Of course, the demonstration was only that one time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is Al Ghazali.
We have we've neglected the largest religion of any. Well, we're going to have a little bit of them right now. Al Ghazali was a famous Muslim philosopher who lived about 1000 A.D. And I thought we'd have just a short selection from him. Have you got it there?
Yes. The practice of recollection of God to the exclusion of all else is well described in a passage in Al-Ghazali, the theologian of the 11th century. Let him reduce his heart to a state in which the existence of everything and its non-existence are the same to him. Then let him sit alone in some corner, limiting his religious duties to what is absolutely necessary, and not occupying himself either with reciting the Quran or considering its meaning, or with books of religious tradition, or with anything of the sort. And let him see to it that nothing save God Most High enters his mind. Then, as he sits in solitude, let him not cease saying with his tongue, Allah, Allah, keeping his thought on it. At last he will reach a state when the motion of his tongue will cease, and it will seem as though the word flowed from it. Let him persevere in this until all trace of motion is removed from his tongue. And he finds his heart persevering in the thought. Let him still persevere until the form of the word, its letters and shape, is removed from his heart, inseparable from it. So far, all is dependent on his will and choice, but to bring the mercy of God does not stand in his will or choice. He has now laid himself bare to the breathings of that mercy, and nothing remains but to await what God will open to him, as God has done after this manner to prophets and saints. If he follows the above course, he may be sure that the light of the real will shine out in his heart. At first unstable, like a flash of lightning, it turns and returns, though sometimes it hangs back. And if it returns, sometimes it abides, and sometimes it is momentary. And if it abides, sometime its abiding is long and sometimes short.
Yes. Well, now you see that pure mysticism, and you may wonder why all these Oriental religions are brought in connection to the subject of Quakerism. The reason is that these Oriental religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Taoism, not Confucianism, are mystical religions. They depend on inward experience. Only with a Taoist, it's outward and inward. He's really a nature mysticism because he wants to put his soul in line with the way nature operates. And Quakerism is a mystical religion, and all mystical religions are very much alike. They all depend on inward experience. And there are several Quakers have written, William Penn says, for instance, that if you took away the outer trappings, the forms and symbols of the religions, you would find they were all the same. If you subtracted the traditions and the things that grow up since it started, all religions would be the same. And John Woolman, who was just the next most prominent Quaker, perhaps, to Fox and Penn, has said that all men that are absolutely sincere in their religion are of the same religion and should be called brethren. And Whittier, who is another famous Quaker, John Greenleaf Whittier, wrote in one of his poems, "All souls that struggle and aspire, all hearts of love by thee are lit, and bright or dim thy tongues of fire on dusky tribes and twilight centuries sit. Nor clime, nor creed, nor place thou knowest, far and wide thy favors fall, the bright wings, the white wings of the Holy Ghost, rise over all. I forgot the exact words. But there, all souls that struggle and aspire, Whittier thinks, are the same religion. You'll find that in Quakerism, but you won't find it in much, many other Christian sects. That mysticism is very much the same when it is genuine in all the different religions. And that mysticism is not just a mysticism of the inward life. It's also a mysticism of the life around you. It's getting into unity, not only with the God within, but to the God without. I think Tagore, in his Gitanjali, Gita is poetry, his poem, song, has pretty well portrayed the best sides of Hinduism. And I might close with repeating one of Tagore's poems in which he tries to show how God is both in nature and in that which is beyond nature. He says, "O thou beautiful, thou art the nest, and thou art the sky as well. There in the nest is thy love that encloses the soul in colors and sounds and odors. There comes the morning, bearing in her right hand a wreath of beauty, silently to crown the earth. And there comes the evening over the deserted meadows, bearing in her golden pitcher huge drafts of peace from the western mountain of rest. But there, where spreads the infinite sky for the soul to take her flight in, reigns the stainless white radiance. There is no color nor sound nor odor, and never a word." So there you see he contrasts the nest, God is there, and the sky, which represents the absolute being, which is beyond all particularity, all finiteness, which is represented by, in his poem, "The finite world around you is the nest, the sky represents the absolute being with which you can come into contact in your meditation." Well, I think maybe I wonder if anybody has a question. What time is it?
Oh, 5:20.
Does anybody have a question? We tried to, as usual, I tried to cover a lot more ground than I have time for. I ought to know better through experience, but I don't seem to learn that way.
Howard, is there a pacifist side to Muslim religion?
Well, yes. Have you got that piece of paper?
Mm-hmm.
There can be, you can find it if you look for it. Now, of course, there is such a thing as a holy war, what they call a jihad in Islam. But I remember at this World Pacifist Conference, we had an Islamic scholar of a rather high rank who claimed that Islam was at heart, in spite of its holy wars, it was at heart a pacifist religion.
Well, there are a whole lot of quotations from the Quran. The one you had marked was, "God will guide to paths of peace him who shall follow after his good pleasure, and will bring them out of the darkness to the light, and to the straight path will he guide them." Do we feel like
try another.
A few more? "God calleth to the abode of peace. The word for them, for a merciful Lord, is peace. Whatever the subject of your dispute, its decision doth rest with God. If two bodies of the faithful are at war, then make ye peace between them."
That's from the Quran.
Yes.
All these are from the Quran.
They're all from the Quran.
All from the Quran.
"Saith the Lord, we have ordained that he who slayeth anyone, unless it be a person guilty of manslaughter, or of spreading disorders in the land shall be as though he had slain all mankind, but that he who saveth a life shall be as though he had saved all mankind alive.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you look for them, you can find them. It's like our Bible. You can find what you are looking for, usually.
He says, let there be no compulsion in religion. Cause not disorders in the earth.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm afraid that the Muslims have a record of fighting. They did spread their religion through war, but yet Muhammad himself appears to have had some pacifist inclinations, although his followers... Yes, the Sufis were the mystics of Islam.
Wasn't Ghazali a Sufi?
Ghazali was a Sufi, yes. And Omar Khayyam, you're all familiar with him, he's supposed to have been written by a Sufi, and the wine in Omar Khayyam was a mystical experience, according to one authority. Anybody else have a question or observation?
But what is on ask for next time?
Well, according to the catalog, I was supposed to give a course on the Quaker autobiographies or journals. What I would try to do in that course is to follow through the main stages in the life of what might be called a standard Quaker. a standard Quaker. These journals, of which we must have at least 1,000 altogether, are autobiographies in which the writer tells of his own religious experiences. And I would attempt to portray what the main religious experiences of these writers were. So just as James wrote a book called The Varieties of Religious Experience, I think that you could call this course The Varieties of Quaker Experience, as taken from their journals. I don't know how well we'll get along with that, but we might start out at least by trying it and see how it might be received. I would first start out with their childhood, what they said about their childhood, what they said about their adolescent years, what they said about their divided self, when they felt that they were divided in two parts, evil was pulling in one direction, good was pulling in another, and they had to make a choice, then their decision to follow the light, and then the kind of things they did in social reform, like prison reform, abolition of slavery, mental hospitals, and things of that sort, which they took up as an expression of their religion. Now, these people would not be average Quakers. They'd be special ones who were special enough to think that they were worthy of an autobiography. It's very difficult for a person who wants to be very humble and who claims to be very humble to write about himself. Because if you write, it takes a certain amount of egotism, I think, to write about yourself. I don't think I could do it. But of course, these men and women did write about themselves and their own religious experiences and other experiences, their adventures in sea or land, shipwreck, and so on. That would, I think, what I would, according to the Pendle Hill Bulletin, is what I'm supposed to do.
Of course, we have to take into account that Henry Cadbury on Monday evening is going to talk about the social.
No, I think he's going to talk about the Gospel of John this term.
Is he?
I think so, this coming term.
Well, then there isn't.
I think that was for next year. That was for next year. Yes, the Muslim phrase, peace be unto you, salam, shows they're all for peace.
Well, Sholem Aleichem.
Was it? Sholem Aleichem?
Well, that's
a name. Yes, that's right, Sholem Aleichem.
Well, thank you very much.
Well.
You want these?
I'll put them away.
Yes.
Because I'm supposed to know where they go.
Yes.